Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Love that freedom of a Friday, just being able to just sit here with you and just chat absolute guff.
It is. Brilliant. We've got a nice selection of questions. This is also the beginning of the pod.
UBP.
So a massive thank you to everybody for sending in their questions. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, for the Untitled Banter podcast, joined by Mr. Jules Gill.
Hello, everyone.
Hello and good sir. But thank you very much for sending so many questions in. We had an overwhelming response this week. I think people are getting used to the Friday wind down banter bollocky pod, sending whatever they want in. All sorts of thoughts on games, consoles, the future of the generations, and also different food stuff. So we'll get through as many as we can. First question from Black Lives Still Matter, awesome name. How do you both keep yourself so engaged in video games? I used to put lots of time into games, but now I find I can only game for a couple of hours before needing to take a break. I can't just play for 5 hours straight like I did in uni. I'm guessing this person hasn't stayed up until 3 a.m, because that's what 3 a.m is invented for.
Right. Okay. This is your lifestyle is still like, it's amazing. You have become like the perfect, almost like surgically designed specimen for gaming, because it's like a new game release comes out and it's like your eyes light up, all the information downloads, you know everything about this game, you know everything about that. And then you play it and you're able to stay up for ungodly amounts of time
Only just finished Demon's Souls last night at 2 a.m. because I was like, I'm going to do this. I need to get it done. And then there was only like 3 or 4 bosses. I was like, well, I might as well do them now. So I finished the old game test.
And then there's me just in bed at 10, just like, that's fine. That's all right.
But I think like you get stuff done in the morning though. Like I can't go to bed. I hate going to sleep. I like being asleep, and then I like staying in bed in the morning, but I hate resigning myself to my subconscious. I hate it.
Whereas I love waking up early in the morning so I can get loads of stuff done before and then relax sort of the rest of the day. But in terms of answer the question though, we kind of do it because it's through osmosis. We're constantly chatting to each other. So we're constantly kept abreast of all of the stuff that's going on in the industry. It helps as well that we have to stay sort of up to date with all of these things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as people well know, I've been obviously down in Wales for a bit and didn't have access to my PS4. So I had to only play like PC and Xbox One games.
PC stuff, all with your sliders,
So it did mean that I missed out on like a fair few releases that came, but now I get the joy of catching up on it all now, which is
your
fantastic.
Christmas is going to be such a blur of like Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII.
Well, I've got a whole week off, so my plan is to go through Crash. It's About Time.
Oh, you've got Crash as well.
Yeah, I know, right? And then if I have time after that, I'm going to try and rush through the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, mate. Crash 4 is low-key one of the best games of the year. Like, it's so well put together.
But I've been watching people like Gerard Khalil, the completionist, and Kadikaris, who've been talking about how it's Kadikaris a nightmare to complete. Yeah. Absolute nightmare.
Oh, I forgot that your brain's going to make you want to get all the relics and all the gems.
I know. because it's the thing, after doing the high road and getting the platinum relic on that, there's nothing that I can't do. But now that's set a dangerous precedent. Because I feel like I've got to do it. I was tempted to get it and stream it like from zero to hero, 100% run, God. Just go for it. It'll be weeks in the making.
Looking at Caddy's stuff, like the whole thing where he was, because it's true, they do hide certain gems just behind a piece of scenery.
Bull bleep design. I obviously can't swear on the podcast, but it just looked absolutely awful. But at the same time, it took him 68 hours to get it 100%.
Thankfully, like, you don't need all the gems to get all the skins. Like, it's a couple of levels you do, but like, you can, I would want just a costume run and just got a bunch of different skins because the skins are great. But yeah, in terms of just like being able to do it, it's our livelihoods. I think we just like devote that much time to it. Plus,
it
like
helps
I said,
that we love what we do.
It definitely helps that we love what we do. I'd like love following the industry, all the different machinations of it. And yeah, I'm always up until 2-3 in the morning. I think government mandated, they say, I think it was the World Health Organization said that we should get 7 hours sleep. So I said, right, exactly 7 hours between 2:30 and like 9:30 or whatever it is. And I'm going to get exactly that amount, Mr. WHO. And then I can squeeze all my games in. So yes, next question from Lee Cleesby. Favorite way to cook an egg?
Favorite way to cook an egg? Oh, if it's like a personal preference, it's playing Fallout New Vegas with community challenges, because that will boil my bloody egg brain.
I was like, where you watching me?
Oh, I've been doing some like insanely difficult challenges over on Live and Let's Dice, just like every single ones that decided by the community, and it can drive me absolutely mad. But in terms of an actual cooking egg, poached is nice.
Okay, did we mention eggs last week or the week before? My mind's breaking.
No, it's because you're looking at me. It's because you're looking at me on the screen and you think to yourself, egg.
This wasn't even a submitted question. I just had to get some egg thoughts down. Yeah. But I think, I'm sure we mentioned this the other week, or the Truman Show is collapsing, because I've been making dippy eggs. I've been making lovely little dippy eggs. Dippy and I think eggs. That's what it is. Dippy egg.
Eggy soldiers is the tip top. Get yourself some toast. Obviously, you got your Marmite, because you can't go do anything with Jules' house without Marmite. Marmite toast. Dip it right in the egg.
That's madness, mate. Why do you do that?
No. The Marmite's on the toast. It's not just like you pour in Marmite into the egg. Toast, dip it in.
I don't know. I just faffing on with the old dippy egg. Just to dispel a quick myth, because I thought this myth for 30 years at this point. People told me that you couldn't put an egg into boiling water. You can. You just can. And you have to, because everyone's like, everyone has their own like secret technique.
Was this a Cleary joint? This feels very much like a, hey, let's have a rib on Scott thing.
No, this is just like, because it's always, as soon as you open the conversation on how do you make a boiled egg, every one of our relatives, everybody has their own individual secret technique, passed down, family generations, whatever. But most people say you put the egg in cold water and you warm it up. I think that's what you do.
Yeah,
but I make the boiling water, and then you just dip the egg in a couple of times, then you let it go, and the egg just cooks lovely, and you just do a nice sort of 4 to 6 minutes.
I was about to say that
it's not
going to
break
like,
at all.
Yeah, as long as you're delicate, as long as you're not just slamming it in the pan like you're what's that guy does the fake cooking things that always ends with slamming eggs on the floor?
Rich Hudson?
No, it's really famous, and I'm really How to Basic. That's the one from him.
Great. Yeah. Barely. Yeah, I was watching Jamie Oliver cook an egg, and it blew my mind. I was like, I can make dippy eggs in like 5 minutes. I don't need to wait for the water to heat up or whatever.
Thank you, Jamie Oliver. You've finally proven your worth.
So yeah, I think we'll both be in unison for the old dippy egg. Totally recommend dip eggs. If you want to start making dippy eggs a Friday tradition in time with this podcast, please feel free.
Yeah, fine. I mean, like, send us photos of your dippy eggs and show what condiments you put on the toast, obviously. Whatever you prefer, spreads.
I'm thinking a little bit of Dijon mustard on the old toast, and then dip that in. I've never used to have Dijon mustard, then I had it, and I can't not have it now. It's good.
I think somebody's gone a bit posh.
I have gone a little bit posh. I sort of indulged in lockdown. I sort of went a little bit mad. Bought a new TV, another new TV, and got a Dijon mustard.
Let's not talk about your TVs, mate.
Every time you get a new TV, you've got to get Dijon mustard. Otherwise, what are you doing? Next question from Michelle Yaksh, who says, what do you think about the rumored Mass Effect 5 storyline? This will be submitted before the bombshell of last night that Corey Hudson has left BioWare.
Yeah, he's
so
gone.
Mark Darrow. What's your general, I guess we'll just turn this into a general thoughts on the future of Mass Effect.
You're gonna have to like fill me in the key points that for the Mass Effect 5 storyline are.
Well, he's saying the rumored stuff. I guess for me, there wasn't anything out there that was nailed down at all, other than that it was rumored they would continue where Mass Effect 3 left off.
Yeah, that's what I was just double checking with, because unless something's popped up since I last checked, the only thing that I know is that it was meant to be a continuation on of Shepard's story.
Was vaguely teased out.
But that doesn't make any sense. We had a perfect resolution to Shepard's story. Just leave that be. This is the thing. I know that it's like it was the ending that everyone and their nan hated, but at the same time, that was a trilogy done and dusted. Like, yes. I would rather we moved on again, not Andromeda, but maybe somewhere else in the timeline.
Yeah, I would hope that, I mean, considering obviously Casey Hudson, original executive producer on the trilogy, like, you know, they have, Mark Walters is still sticking around. He did Mass Effect 3 and Andromeda. I don't know. I don't know if I have much faith in BioWare anymore, but I still think the Mass Effect lore is so rich and there's so much that you can pick from. I just, if you get that right.
if you look at what happened to Black Isle Studios, who became Obsidian, and their relationship with Bethesda, obviously you can get developers who leave studios that are swallowed up by bigger ones to go and start their own thing. And that thing is usually far, far better. I mean, look at Fallout 76 versus The Outer Worlds. Like, it's hands down in The Outer Worlds' favor.
Yeah.
Who's to say that these two leaving wouldn't just mean that we'll get another sci-fi space opera that's going would come in the future. I tell you what they should do, though. Go back and make another Jade Empire. That's what I'm waiting for.
Only me and you ever remember Jade Empire. I think it's so good. Just that old. Not that it's even that old of a game, but I mean, you can play that on the Xbox Series.
Don't play it on the PC. The PC one feels really weird. I don't know what it is. I played it recently and I was like, this doesn't feel right. What's up with this?
If you go back to it now, I think back in 2005, we were like blown away by just sort of like all the Eastern mythology stuff and the setting and just the general style of that game. But if you play it now, yes, it doesn't feel that good. But
I always went Way of the Tiger, because it was the really slow but heavy hits. That's the one that I really liked. So like timing with like bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang.
I just remember thinking the combat looked better than what I was actually pressing to do it. I was just like, oh, this looks really cool, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Question from Mr. Yaksh was saying, also preferred hat style, baseball, flat bill, etc.
Right, okay. I genuinely feel like this question is very loaded towards me because of the fact that I wear so many hats and they are nearly 100% beanies.
I was going to say beanie,
Like beanies are the best, man. They cover the ears, they keep your head nice and warm, they can have those nice and little emblazoned bits on the front. Hands down the winner.
I had to make a life sacrifice. With this level of spike, I can't wear any hat because it just undoes it by the time I get into work.
You could wear one hat, but it would make you the ultimate douche, and that is a visor.
A visor is not a hat.
It technically is, because it covers the side and front of the head and a little bit at the top. I mean,
I don't know if decades of RPGs would put a visor in a facial accessory, not a hat.
Could we put you in a top hat?
Would it fit that maintains then? The spike.
That would work. Hat
built for the spikier gentleman.
A stovepipe hat for Scott, please. Somebody please draw him with a stovepipe hat and his hair poking at the top.
That would be a giant beehive that you can get in Demon Souls that some of the followers of the wear.
The old monk's head wrap.
Yes. Just that giant sort of weird beehive thing. I'll take one of them. That'll let me have maximum spike by the time I get to the office. Next question.
Hold on. That opens up another kettle of fish right there, because the old monk's headdress is actually his robes that are wrapped around to become a headpiece. So that then starts the question, when do clothes become hats?
When they're on your head. Surely that's the main designator.
If I put a shoe on my head, is that now a hat?
I think the correct English would be that you're wearing a shoe as a hat. So, yeah, you can wear anything as a hat as long as it's on your head. Just, you know, the rules of a Friday.
This has blown my mind. Right, let's move on.
See what other hat questions we get next week. Next question from Travis Nichols. What video game moment made you shed a manly tear or straight up ugly cry? I definitely ugly cried when Big Boss lay against the tombstone of Boss and said, you only need one snake. No, the world would be better off without snakes. My ugliest cry recently was the end of the Spider-Man 2018 game. Did you play that before I give that away?
Yes, I did. Yeah, that just, is a very emotional goodbye right there.
Just the whole Aunt May stuff. I think it's just because anything with any elderly person either struggling or passing away or whatever just reminds me of how I was pretty much like raised alongside with my grandparents just as much as my regular parents. So anything with old folk going through stuff always gets me. So I was a mess when that thing was playing out with Aunt May.
The same with To the Moon.
Oh my god, To the Moon.
Eviscerate my innards. That was just bad.
Trying to write about that, we did it in, it was some sort of like, you know, most impactful emotional moments. Mm-hmm. Even writing that out, I was just sitting tearing up at my desk, like, oh god, this play To the Moon. To the Moon is phenomenal.
It was the same with the That Dragon Cancer. Like, I still remember that was the first time that we did like a chatty faces on like emotional moments.
Yep.
And I remember it's the first time I cried in front of you guys, because I was just like reliving it again. I was like, oh, sheepers, that hits hard. That really hits hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want a good cry, then any of those games that we've listed, they will sort you right out. You will be, they're like skeletons when they're all dehydrated. Yes. Like you'll be like that afterwards. You'll have cried out everything.
I did think, was a total mess at the end of Celeste as well, just because it was just such a overcoming, such like a personal struggle thing, not for me, but for someone that I know very closely. And like that game's themes, messaging and overcoming things on like a mental struggle, mental health kind of sense, was lovely. I totally recommend Celeste to everybody. Next question from Joshua. Just got a PlayStation 5, never had a PlayStation console ever. So their first question is, what recent PlayStation exclusives should they play for the first time? Love your channel and hope you stay safe. Thank you very much, and you too.
Oh, cheers, mate.
I know.
And congratulations on your first PlayStation product.
Yeah, imagine getting a PlayStation now and then realizing that you have like 20 whatever it is years of stuff to go back to. I guess on PS5.
Or technically PS4, you can just get Astro's Playroom and you can just play through all of those 20 years and all the references.
That's actually the perfect recommendation. Play Astro's Playroom. That game is a living tribute to PlayStation history. I love Astro's Playroom so much, man. It kind of feels like
you're gonna cry.
I love it. I just remember going through that because there's a bit where, because every individual level, there's like four main hubs and they're set around different eras of PlayStation history. And when I went to the end of the PlayStation 2 one and it did the PlayStation 2 music with all the towers in the background, and I was like, oh, my whole childhood's dead, but I've just seen it again, and that's lovely.
Do you want to know a fun little fact about those towers? Those towers actually represent how full your memory card is.
Yes.
That's amazing. PS2? Isn't that like, you load it up and there's just like a few towers when you first put the memory card, and the more your memory card is full, the more towers there are. I was like, what the hell?
Do you remember how much we were blown away by that? The PS2 having like 3D memory card icons and the PS2's internal clock. I remember just putting the clock on, just being like, oh, look at that, it's just a clock in it. Oh, fancy new age clock in 2001.
It's just a clock. I absolutely love those little icons because it was like, I was a huge fan of obviously the Dynasty Warriors franchise. So I had all of them and they all had like animated steam buns or little warriors that went like, burr, burr.
I wish I had some bow. Some of them handy.
Did you know that some of them also had a different animation when you clicked like delete if you wanted to get rid of them?
Well, they like screamed no.
Yeah, but some of them actually would just they were like, ah, like that.
That's awesome. In terms of recent PlayStation exclusives, obviously God of War, obviously Horizon. I'd still say Death Stranding. I think Death Stranding is awkward as hell, but it's tameable and it's incredible and masterful when you get there. It's just a weird
ass
game.
Is it a PS exclusive though?
Yeah, Death Stranding is. Well, I guess if you go on PC.
That's a PC, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that those are probably the best recommendations that you could get. I mean, Spider-Man, definitely.
Persona 5. But
if you just got the PlayStation 5, he could play through Spider-Man and then jump straight into Spider-Man and Miles Morales.
Spidey's a hell of a show, actually. Yeah, if you've never experienced the Spider-Man games, I think Miles Morales is a better playing game than 2018, but obviously 2018 is when he's bigger. But they're both totally worth it. Next question from Willy Araya. Again, brilliant name. What are your unbelievable OMG moments of 2020? Could be from a game, a particular announcement, etc. Theirs are from Crash 4, the wow seed, and Tony Hawk's
so good.
And the Tony Hawk's remaster when Jack Black popped up. He pops up as the new Officer Dick.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular OMG moments? I think mine would be Microsoft buying Bethesda. I just kind of couldn't.
Yeah. How could you even predict that? If you were to choose two companies and say one will buy the other, you would just be like,
sheer amount of money. Like they paid more money for Bethesda than Disney did for Star Wars. And it's just
insane.
Like I guess it makes sense. I guess it makes sense because Elder Scrolls plus Fallout plus that and like Wolfenstein, Doom, everything else, like it does add up to more than one entertainment IP in film.
I know, but you have to admit that Todd Howard might have as big a silver tongue, gift of the gab, as Peter Molyneux does, because how he managed to point at the raging tire fire that is Fallout 76. And still is, and get Microsoft to say, hey, do you want to spend more money on this than the entirety of Marvel? Like,
I think it's more rooted in, like I said, like, id Software and Doom and, like, Fallout. Yeah. Well, I guess that's, like, Elder Scrolls and stuff. Like, I guess that's such a... Like, Skyrim was, like, a life event back in 2011.
For me, in terms of, like, an OMG moment, maybe it was the fact that Shenmue actually released. I think that I... Yeah. Like, honestly, like, think about... Yeah, I think it was this year, wasn't it?
Is it?
Was it last year?
I'm going to Google you right now.
I tell you what, apologies if that is the case, because
November 2019.
Time is completely still. In terms of like OMG moments, the fact that we are starting this brand new console generation is pretty incredible, because
in the middle of all this,
it's all of this uncertainty. It's like, what is going to happen? And I think that it's that anticipation that's the most exciting thing about it. Mm. But in terms of like a single game, maybe it's just being blown away by how like considerable the indie game market is doing. Like it's doing absolute numbers at the moment. I mean, I know I've been banging on about this game a lot, but BPM. is just so good. Bullets per minute, like Doom meets Crypt of the Necrodancer. Like I was blown away by that. Like didn't know anything about it, and then 2 days later I had a review copy, and I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Someone heard you mentioning it. I was like, wait, it's him. Give to him. Yep. And that's a perfect segue into the next question from Edward Shiraz Hans, who says, nice. What was the most overlooked game of 2020, and why was it Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive? I came into Xenoblade with Xenoblade 2. Did you play the original?
Yes, I did, actually. I played it. I did not complete it, though. Hands up. Did not complete it.
Because I think most overlooked stuff, we just did a list called like Best Games of 2020 You Didn't Play. So I'm not going to hop too much about Inertial Drift again.
Oh, yeah. And I think that I did one which was Best Games, Most Overlooked Games of the PS4. Flint Hook is definitely one that people should. I don't think it was of 2020, though.
I guess Flint Hook, I think, might be last year, but I mean, it's still sort of like, I think you did the overlooked games of the generation, but I don't know if that's out. We've got a lot of the thing is, insider stuff, slightly. Obviously, the end of this year is the new console generation, the end of the previous one, the end of 2020. Trying to roll all those things together into one big dump of like, what the hell do we prioritize?
Well, yeah, it's like, because of the fact that like, you guys will get like a nice little glimpse now. The way that we work, obviously, is that Scott and I, we record like tons and tons of voiceovers, and they go into like this big backlog of stuff, and we have to like organize it all. Like a lot of people assume for some weird reason that we write stuff on, say, like a Monday, and it's out by Wednesday or Thursday.
That can be done if it's really pressing, but it's hard.
But it doesn't usually happen. Yeah. And now, thanks to this being the end of the year, you're going to see all of these sort of like best of 2020, worst of 2020, all like the generation, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But that means that when January and February hit, you'll be hearing stuff that we technically recorded 2 months today. Ago or like like it's gonna be weird, like, because I'll hear stuff and just be like, when did I record that, like, man. And people will point out and be like, oh, was this recorded months ago? And it's like, yeah, it was
sometimes. I think that, like, the multi, like, we've gotten a lot tighter recently, but I think it is just a case of like prioritization and then being like, oh god, we can't do this because this is about to break. Like, I'm putting together the website and the video version of the best games of 2020, but I can't I don't want to talk about that until I see what the hell Cyberpunk is, so I'm sort of just sitting on that.
And then there's still a few big bombs to drop, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's always like trying to schedule stuff. But yes, most overlooked game of 2020 for me, it would be Inertial Drift, Hot Shot Racing. Just sort of anything that's in my games you didn't play in 2020 list. I don't feel like any specific indie thing blew me away this year, but I'm probably forgetting. So Hades, actually, but that's...
Oh yeah, Hades is fantastic. But that's not even... Is that overlooked? It's been
got so many award nominations that it's done really well. But yes, there's plenty to choose from. Next question from David McClelland. This pandemic has been pretty brutal, but what positive thing have you discovered about yourself, and what have you discovered about your family/work family? I've never heard of work family, but I guess whoever's around you is your work family.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I feel like when everything's stripped back like this, I found that my productivity has gone up because I'm able to focus on a lot more projects. I feel very good about myself having like sorted my work ethic out. I've like done a lot of work over these last months, but mainly to drown out the horrible nature of what's going on this year.
Yeah, giving yourself like projects has been one of the easiest or one of the best ways to sort of keep going.
It makes me appreciate when we can do stuff like cameos, crossovers, things like this as well, because I feel like they mean more to me now. Like, I'm not saying that they were throwaway before, but when you're in an office with people, it can sometimes feel like, oh, let's just grab a few people and have a, like a crazy mismatch. Here it's like, it takes effort to plan, it takes effort to do, and therefore it's much more rewarding to see it like come to fruition.
I definitely like reappreciate humans, like every individual person like you that I know. And I'm like, I want to see you. I want to be able to do stuff together again.
Like, before we started recording, you were telling me about how people were like getting in touch about the podcast being one of their most listened to things over the year.
Yeah.
And like seeing the pride in what you were talking about there. I was like, because this thing, I only do this thing with you. I've appeared like sporadically across the year. You have definitely taken the bull by the horns of this. You deserve massive props for like getting this off the ground and getting it working and keeping it going.
It's obviously like a team thing. Obviously, like, you know, that we've had so many different schedule changes because of, we have various different machinations in the background that change the way that we can roll stuff out. But we've try to do as much as we can in as many different ways that work. Obviously, we've got this schedule at the minute with me and Josh doing the news on Monday. We've got a regular show on Wednesday, and then me and you do the Friday one, which is awesome. People have really, really been responding to that, and it's great to see. And then, yeah, when Spotify did their Wrapped stuff, there was loads of people that got in touch and said, you guys were our number one podcast of the whole year, which is just crazy. But I think overall, the What Culture Gaming podcast is obviously everybody. And, you know, like, you are on way more than you might give yourself credit for. It's just that this year has been way more scattered. But I think you'll be on a hell of a lot more next year. I think in terms of what you've discovered, it's just been like reevaluating your priorities. Like, what stuff do I want that will genuinely make me happy? And then indulging in escapism and things like that.
Maybe it's forced us to take a look at the video games that we are playing and figure out what we want from them more. Like, because now we're at home a lot more and we technically have more time, we start to look at it and go like, okay, well, how am I going to invest that? Like, I've been looking at video games now less as like, projects that I want to dip in and out of. I want to choose one or two and commit to them, like all go all the way through, because I want them to be projects. I'm treating them kind of the same way that I do my Warhammer painting. I pick a model and I see it through to the end. That's what I want to do now.
Hitting credits is so sad. I mean, not that I wasn't aiming to hit credits before, but like making a point of hitting credits and seeing everything, like that can be just as satisfying as a particular game mechanic, and knowing that you've, like, I've been chasing a lot more trophies and 100% completion stuff just because we have a little bit more time, obviously getting rid of commute stuff. And the way the PS5's UI works, it suggests trophies to you that you might be close to. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go do that extra.
That's very clever.
Whatever. Things like that are really cool. But yeah, all that stuff. I think, yeah, mostly it's just been, like I said, prioritization of what I know is going to make me happy, which is a way of saying that I've been getting Domino's every Sunday. I've been doing it. I don't mind. I just want the pizza.
Man, I'm getting Papa J's on Saturday. I'm big PJ's. Keen. Big keen.
Yeah, the Papa is here for you. Next question from Dr. X. Why do our feet smell but our noses run?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't know, mate.
Well, first off, wash your goddamn feet. don't be sitting there with stinky bunions and onions.
I didn't make a point. What's it? Too much information. But I never washed my feet. Never made a point of washing my feet.
No. I'm not saying that like you should sit down there and like get the old scrubbing brush out and have a go. Although maybe some of you should if you've got the old mushrooms growing underneath the caps.
If you're growing the mushroom kingdom, you should definitely
just give them a courtesy. You wipe every now and again. Just make sure that they're taken care of. Clip your toenails.
The whole like wash the feet separately thing. But then my wife was like, "What? You don't wash your feet?" I was like, "No, do you?" And she's like, "Yeah." And so like now it's like a thing that you're supposed to do. Have people been doing this the whole time? I don't know.
I mean, this is the thing that everyone will probably call us grubby bastards for not dedicating like 10 hours a week to washing the feet. But that's the thing. If your feet smell, wash him.
Solid advice for the weekend, that, yeah. Solid lockdown advice. Next question from Stuart. If you knew it for certain that it was going to get 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, which game would you choose to be made into a movie or TV show and why? So game into a movie or TV show, not the other way around. But I guess it's just, if you knew it was going to do, if it was going to be done well. I think we had this the other week and we chose, I think we might have been choosing stuff that should be made into a game.
I would love to see any of the Valkyria Chronicles games made into a movie. World War II, told by an anime full of like high school people. Fantastic. Yes.
Have you seen the new Dragon's Dogma animation on Netflix?
It actually looks all right, doesn't it?
It's weird. Yeah, it's like ups and downs. Like it's nowhere near as polished as Castlevania. I love Castlevania, especially season one. But the Dragon's Dogma stuff has that weird like faux 3D look where they've like rendered models in and then tried to animate them like anime. And I think that looks a bit strange. But that's what I thought of when you mentioned Valkyria Chronicles. I guess you could do that
could
way.
Work. And they've also just released that thing on Netflix, which is like it's looks like it's like a rotoscoped version of World War events, and I can't remember what it's called. But it looks really impressive, and that's probably the closest that I'll get to it for a while.
I can't think what you mean, but in terms of, I just would think of anything from Supergiant, like if you made Pyre into like a weekly show, where you sort of, you know, you have all the interpersonal relationships between the team, and then you have the big, like even if you waited until there was a finale or a mid-season finale to have their actual sport competing stuff, and then have everything else in between that.
That would work so well. Mm. As would a sort of Steven Universe version of Night in the Woods.
That's a beautiful shout.
Imagine how like taken the community would be with that. Just like a weekly episodic sort of Cartoon Network throwback to kids being kids and having
emotional
issues.
It's got such like a dark edge though, because there's all the conspiracy side of it. I love Night in the Woods.
But then think about it. So did tons of Cartoon Network shows like Grim and Billy and Mandy's Grim Adventures. That had a really dark edge to it.
Yeah.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Jeez, that was scary as hell.
Courage is like insanely twisted. Muriel. The more you go back to it. That thing was genuinely scary when I was younger.
Yeah.
Next question from Littleton MS. I would love to hear the motivation behind Jules's phenomenal positive message closers talked about more in depth, and they love me to talk about synthwave, how I got into it, and then they'd like us to talk about how No Man's Sky got onto a path to glory. Quick stuff about your closing messages.
Basically, it all just stems from wanting to use the platform that we have been given, the modicum of a spotlight that we have, just for positivity. I think that one day I just got a bit annoyed looking around at some of these very big like influencers and YouTubers and seeing them use their mass influence for either personal gain or for stuff that was impactful in a negative sense on other communities, like, oh, I don't like this, and then they would use that to get those people to like motivate them to target those people, or I don't like this, and I'm just like, that's not for me how I would ever want to use any sort of like influence or following or anything like that. So one day I was just like, well, I've been through some rough stuff, so have some other people in the office, so have like some of my best friends and family members. Why not make sure that people listening to this don't feel as isolated as some of these other subsections of online social media sites and other collectives will make them feel sometimes?
Which is that's beautifully put. I think that the response to it's been great as well. Like, we've had obviously the people in the comment sections, we've had a couple of people a lot of people in person have come up every now and then just saying thank you very much. So that stuff, you're doing very well, Julian.
Cheers, man. just having a good time. And then tell us about the synthwave.
The synthwave, that's, I love that defines me. You're like helping rising rising tide raises all ships. And I'm like, oh, I like a bit of 80s throwback music for me. But yeah, synthwave stuff, got into it off Hotline Miami, the Hotline Miami games, yeah. Both those games soundtracks, check
Moon,
them out.
Moon.
Moon's great. There's so many different artists that are on there, Carpenter Brute, Perturbator, there's Jasper Byrne, there's tons. If you check out the Hotline Miami soundtracks, especially too, because I feel like synthwave music is sort of like one of the newest genres that's to evolve across the 2010s. And even if you go between Hotline 1 and Hotline 2, you can tell that those artists are getting better with the equipment, with taking different experiments. Dance with the Dead are like this great sort of thrash metal, like synth infused thrash metal band, that have really come into their own recently. They're just phenomenal. Synthwave stuff just gets me going. It can be purely sonically heavy and like a proper, fills a set of headphones out and I'm just completely engulfed by it. And I love it.
For me, it feels like it's the closest that we'll get to finding another sound that mimics the Prodigy. Like the Prodigy had that sort of beautiful mix of like metal, rock, and a house dance like synth, like they managed to get this amazingly aggressive sound across, and I love that there are bands that are like dialing it back to the 80s, and it's just so good.
It definitely started as like taking various like John Carpenter style music samples and sort of like fleshing them out, but I think it's obviously become its own thing, like way more fleshed out now, and like I said, bands like Carpenter Brute or Dance with the Dead have made it their own. In terms of No Man's Sky, I've always loved No Man's Sky. I played that on I've restarted it so much, but I restarted it again on Series X and with the new next gen patch. That game is easily one of the best looking games on the market right now. Like they've done so much to that thing. Running in 4K, it looks absolutely gorgeous. The Path to Glory, I think it was just them being completely honest and open with their community. Like obviously Sean Murray did say a bunch of stuff that was lies, but I think for me personally, I do think he was planning on putting those things in the game eventually. He'd never done any sort of marketing stuff beforehand. And it was very easy to get carried away with marketing the version of the game you hope it's going to be in a few months' time versus the reality of what they could actually do as a team of 13 people. So like, I think after going Radio Silence for a year, they've got back on it more realistically. They hired a marketing team and they've just been completely honest. Like, this is what we're going to do. These are all these free updates. And I think people respect it, especially considering the years that we've had where so many games lie to you or, give you storefronts for currencies to get you unlock something you should clearly get for free because it's already on the disc.
Like, unfortunately, they'll never be able to escape the legacy that they created for themselves with those comments at the beginning. But at the end of the day, the fact that we're still talking about it, because sometimes those like that negative PR thing influences us to talk about it, go revisit it. Mm-hmm. It actually has worked out in their favor. You know, when they say about whole like, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Yeah. They're kind of right in that respect. Like we're still talking about it now. Mm-hmm. Like even in a negative sense, you'll go check out the game and see where it's at and be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and it's like they've overhauled it so much. Like initially it was just this really cool little indie experiment where it was like, procedurally generated planets. But now, thanks to the new hardware and stuff, if you play it on PS5 or Series X or Series S even, the frame rate can completely keep up with everything you want to do. And it just becomes this lush like treadmill of unlocking stuff and building stuff and exploring and crafting. And I love No Man's Sky, Jules. I think it's amazing.
I know you
put
do.
It on
I know
the do. Games of the Generation list, which we're still sort of putting together because of Cyberpunk again. We'll see. Next question from Coach Marv. What is the most wholesome video game moment you've been a part of? Whether that's something you've seen someone achieve, something you've done or seen, or something else.
That is a tough one to answer.
I can drop one in. I remember me and you went to... EGX in Birmingham, which is like sort of a games expo thing a couple of years ago. And I just didn't expect us for anything to happen. I didn't expect us to be a thing. Like obviously we've had people get in touch, I've been recognized in public a couple of times.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I just didn't go in expecting anything really. It happened so much that like in the first few minutes we got so many people stopped us. I thought that was incredible. Like just to the point of just being like, I'm just some dude. We're just people rambling on YouTube.
Yeah.
And for people to be like, oh, can I get a photo? Can I do this? And it was great. And it was so like nonstop that we spent like, just as much covering the games as we did talking to people and seeing what they went into and what would you guys recommend? Oh, cool. There's like a demo around here. Go check this out. And it was great. I loved that energy. And I think that like, that was just awesome. I didn't expect us to matter that much. It was great.
Yeah. One of the best things about life is enjoying the passion that other people have for certain things. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing to see how many passionate people there are out there. Like there's people out there that have like played every single game of this franchise. They love this, they love that. And it's like they've bided it upon themselves to become part of their personality. Mm-hmm. And meeting these people and getting to talk about them at length about their favorite games is just, it's just brilliant.
Like, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know who the two people were that we played the Division 2 with, but when we first played the Division 2, we got put with two random people. We did really well. That squad, we did very, very well. But yeah, I think, in terms of just wholesome stuff, my mind goes to like life achievement stuff, which I guess to me, I think back on when we started, because we were just saying beforehand, Cyberpunk 2077 started development before we started at What Culture. It started development in 2012. That game predates us even here. So I think sometimes I think back on, I look back at stuff like even the people sending in their thoughts on the podcast and saying thank you for that. Like, no, thank you guys for sticking with us and supporting us. All that stuff is wholesome AF.
I think that there's one wholesome moment that happened fairly recently that just stuck in my mind. My friend Jenko, who does all of the artwork for the Live and Let's Dice stuff, he and his son have been playing games together on stream. And I just love the fact that they, that's their like time together. They'll like pick a time out, they'll pick a game and they'll just stream it so that he can learn how to interact with people online. He can learn how to like play games like and sort of present as well. Mm-hmm. And also I think it's like teaching them about like video editing and setup and stuff like that. And I'm just like, that is brilliant as a useful skill and a brilliant bonding moment. So that always warms my heart.
I love all the like cross-generational, like passing down, what do we pass down to like the next generation? Because I've got my sister-in-law had a child and she's like, you know, deciding on like when to introduce Nintendo, when to sort of give them their first console, and like how do you pivot across? Because we, like the age that we are, we grew up with 2D to 3D to HD to 4K, whereas now it's everything, but you still want people to have that like appreciation for Super Mario or like that appreciation for Tekken 3 or whatever, trying to replicate that. But then you get to live vicariously through them and see their reaction to something for the first time. It's pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Recommend it. It's all right. Last question. We've got plenty more questions, but I'll roll them over to
from
next
the
week.
Take trough.
From the take trough. Hashtag take trough. There's tons of stuff to forever topping this up. But final question from Gene Malave. I'm assuming it's Malave. What do you guys think of a Batman Beyond game? Also, what about Max Payne 4? Thank you.
Two. I tell you what, we thought we were getting out of the ring. We're absolutely tired and sweaty. And then he comes along with two massive body blows right there. Batman Beyond as a video game is so much yes. I can't imagine how many exclamation marks would be on the end. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of the best animated shows ever made. I absolutely adore it. The music, the style, the setting. If they could translate any of that into a video game, I would buy that out. It is... Oh,
well, I think everybody thought that the new Batman would be that. Like, obviously, it's that Gotham Knights thing. But I think just because it seems like a good fit, like you've tied up your Arkham Knight stuff, you have that really weird ending with Bruce and the fear toxin and whatever. Mm-hmm. Just jump X number of years in the future. You can still have Kevin Conroy be Bruce and then just do the new stuff with Tim, whatever he's called. I forget his name. Mr. Beyond.
I wouldn't Johnny be... I was about to say, I think that if they go for the Gotham Knights stuff and they keep advancing the storyline this way and keep moving it and moving it and moving it, we'll probably will get a Batman Beyond down the line.
You would hope so. I mean, it's not like the Arkham name is going to go away or like the idea of Batman video games is going to go away.
Imagine the music, the soundtrack to it as well. Oh, the soundtrack
to that.
It
could
be Synthwave. Oh, it would be. It totally would.
What's an absolute slapper. The Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, their lobby music, I know this sounds like the weirdest recommendation ever. Genuinely, the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War lobby theme, if you just go on YouTube, search Black Ops Cold War lobby theme, is an absolute slammer. Like, I'm not kidding at all. It's genuinely a phenomenally brilliant piece of synthwave music. It's so boppy and bouncy and awesome and layered, and it's just, I don't know where it came from. It doesn't fit with that game at all, but it's absolutely awesome. But yeah, Max Payne 4, I don't think we'll ever get a Max Payne 4 at this stage, but you never know.
I don't either. I would love them to because I enjoyed Max Payne 3 so much. Yes. It was a very long game and it was a hugely ambitious one, but I thought it was brilliant. I love the gunplay. I love the online mode. The multiplayer was actually really decent on it.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would just put a, just re-release. I mean, you can play Max Payne 1 and 2 on PS4/5 because it's an old game re-released or whatever, but there's nowhere to get Max Payne 3. And I don't even think it's backwards compatible, but they've
just
never
put out the Max Payne trilogy. That would be amazing.
I'd love it if they did that. But I think the thing that I would take as a half step measure is putting Max Payne in control because they brought Alan Wake back. I just don't think they can do that because James McCaffrey, his voice is the voice of the director in control. Yeah. So I guess he'd be doubling up. But if Max Payne continues just being a character in the Remedyverse, like I would totally take that.
That'd be great.
Maybe someday. But yes, for now, thank you all very, very much for sending your questions and thoughts and stuff in. We'll be back again next week with another UBP.
UBP.
For now, Ivan Scott Tailford, your host, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'll catch you guys all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.